Hey ladies, really quick, I want to tell you about a summer program that I have just created for you to get all the support that you need this summer to help you stop drinking for good and make it a summer to remember. So listen up. Who is this for? This is for any Roadmap student that has already purchased the course. This is for someone brand new, for those of you that have never heard about the Roadmap course or understand what it is. And it's for my existing current clients that want some extra support. This is for anyone who wants to step into summer and have a community and connection. So here's what it is. I want you to know that I remember what it feels like to have regrets of not doing what I said I was going to do. I remember pool days, lake days, summer vacations where I said I wasn't going to overdrink and I did anyway. And I felt like crap in the morning, and I wasn't getting up feeling refreshed and seeing those sunrises. And there's just nothing like having a clear, sober mind walking on the beach when the sun is coming up to celebrate our Creator. And I had many, many, many vacations where that was not true for me. And now I've had many more that is. And I can tell you, I am way more clear and I love my life now. And I know this is very hard, and I know this is hard to do it by yourself, especially if you don't have a supportive partner. Maybe you don't have friends that you can tell. You're listening to this podcast because this is all that you've been able to experience, and maybe you are trying challenges and things like that. But here's why this is different. Because I have a step-by-step process for you that will help you to see your relationship with alcohol, make a surrendered declaration to make a change in that relationship. Are you going to mess up? Probably so. Guess what? That's the beauty of this community. It's okay, because what I want you to do is learn from that. We're going to walk through new routines and create strategies and help you know what to do when you have a craving and set some intentions around your vacations and upcoming events. Like, what can I do instead? How can I prepare my mind? How can I prepare my energy? And then what I'm going to offer you is weekly Monday night Zoom meetings, starting in June, the beginning of June, all the way through July 29th. That is 9 weeks of meetings, a Facebook community, and this Roadmap course. We will have check-ins and accountability, and we'll get prayed over, and we'll celebrate your wins, and you set your weekly intentions. It gives you an opportunity to ask specific questions. Where else can you go and say to a community and to a coach that has been there, done that, specific questions that will help you in your journey? This is the place for you. There's going to be community, encouragement, love. You know, I know some of you want to jump in and ask questions, and I know some of you don't really want to do that, and you want to kind of be behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, there is value in you holding yourself accountable, showing up on Mondays, raising your hand, or at least just sitting there and acknowledging, I'm on this screen, I'm in this community, I'm doing this thing, I'm taking action daily. Yes, I maybe overdrank. Yes, I didn't do what I said I was going to do, but we're going to learn from it. We're going to grow from it. And I want to help you to truly, truly, truly make this a summer to remember. So I'm working on the ins and outs of how you can get it right away. But right now, when you're listening to this message, I want you to email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com and say, I heard about the Summer Support Sisterhood. That's what it's called. And I want on the waiting list. We will be enrolling the week of Memorial Week. So starting the Sunday before Memorial Day, that entire week, that is your enrollment. And that's it. And then I'm closing it down. So whoever gets in, gets in. We will be meeting, like I said, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. So I'm going ahead and tell you the time, because that's when I'm available and I'm committing to show up with you. So email me now and let me know this is something that you want. I can give you the details and how to take the next steps. And I'm telling you, this is your chance for 2024 to change everything this summer. I love you, sister, and I can't wait to meet you inside. Hey ladies, I hope you're having an awesome day. Today I want to share with you an interview that I had on another podcast titled Freedom Within, who helps people with, mostly women, with weight loss, and she has a beautiful program. And we just had a conversation around alcohol and what the relationship with alcohol looks like, what's too much, what's enough, all the conversation around sleep and how it affects your weight. And we just kind of just explore. And I really enjoyed having this conversation with Jen. So I wanted to share it here with you as well. And I hope it blesses you. And I just wanted to remind you that we're heading into summer. And I know that there's some times that there's going to be more pressure for you. I realize that summertime's coming and there's cookouts and sunshine and pool parties and lake parties and all these things. And I know that you are worried about that. I know that there's some fear around, well, I've been trying to cut back my drinking, but here we are again in summertime. And what does this look like? I do not want to overdrink and end up here I am after summer, back in the fall with the same struggle, but I also know there's a lot of pressure and there's anxiety around that. And so I want to help you to set up a vision for you to create what you want to experience this summer and help you with tools and all the things that will help support you throughout your journey of removing or greatly reducing alcohol. Now, you know, I'm a fan of removing, especially in the beginning. I think it's very, very important for you to get clear of alcohol first so that you can start exploring, what is this? It's more than a habit. And what's going on? What other tools do I have or do I don't have? Because here's what I'm finding. A lot of my clients that are coming to me that have been in this habit loop for years and then this rhythm, it's just become a part of their identity and their patterns. And so we begin to just search and see, well, what other options do you have? Do you even have other coping skills or other tools to help you? And really design and customize a plan just for you, because all of you are very different in your lifestyles, whether you're married or not married. Do you have kids in the home? Do you not have kids in the home? Do you travel much? Do you go out much? Is it work functions or is it more social in your neighborhood? All of you are going to have different experiences, and I can help you. And if you're ready to take that next step, email me, michelle@setfreesisterhood.com, and just let me know where you are and how you're feeling, and let's set up a conversation, and let's see what it looks like, where maybe we could work together so I could help you through this summer. I do have a few spots left for customized one-on-one support, and that's available to you whenever you want it. Just email me, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed speaking with her, and our conversation was fantastic. So I love you. Talk soon. Hey, sister, are you newly alcohol free, but you've been hanging on for dear life, hoping you don't fall backward? Or maybe you're still stuck in the cycle of overdrinking, even when you told yourself you would stop, waking up each day with thoughts of self-loathing? Is your anxiety through the roof so much that you wake up at 3 a.m. with your heart racing and negative thoughts about yourself? You hide it so well, not many people know. Girl, I get you and I see you. I'm Michelle Porterfield, and for so many years I experienced all of this. Here's the deal. Quitting drinking's just the first step. I believe that's why it can be so scary. We know deep down it's more. Once we see what's underneath all the covering up, true freedom is found, and I'm here to help you do just that. So whether you're newly alcohol free or just sober curious, there is freedom on the other side. I can't wait to help you ditch the wine witch, or help you find your mindset breakthrough and reignite your purpose after alcohol. Girlfriend, you are in the right place. Welcome to Set Free Sisterhood.
Okay, so I'm with Michelle today, and I'm excited to talk with her, and I think it's going to be really beneficial for all of us on this topic, and I think it can be kind of swept under the rug. There's a lot of shame and judgment and maybe even like some, you know, just... it can be a tough topic to talk about, I think, to be open on. So I'm excited to get to bring this to you. If anyone is struggling with drinking or over drinking, or it's becoming, you know, an issue, we're going to find out today what that looks like, what those lines are, what the boundaries are, kind of how to incorporate less drinking or no drinking, or how to change the relationship basically with alcohol. I know from my experience, it has been a celebratory thing. And also, you know, honestly, I want to share too, just to stay like open to of like during COVID, my husband's a non-drinker. So I felt like I was just drinking alone and it changed the dynamic of what drinking felt like. And I had to step back and be like, what does this mean? And I've had different times in my life where I've pushed up against the boundary of like, bring it back. And does this have a place in my life? And, I see now on Instagram, there's so many different, resources that you can tap into, but it can feel like, am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for somebody else? Am I doing it for like, where is it coming from? And how do we do this from a really good place and, create a beneficial relationship, whether it includes alcohol or doesn't include alcohol, to make it, what that looks like. So I'm curious, and you're an expert in this field and you help women in this area. So I'm excited to talk to you, Michelle. Can you tell us your story? How you got into this space, why it's important to you.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me to have this conversation. And I love how we've already opened it up to
Yeah.
this beautiful conversation of let's just make this more normal and okay to talk about, because a lot of women hide inside of this struggle for a long time because still yet, even though, yes, there is a world of sober curious and stopping over drinking and leaning into even women of faith, there's still this stigma over if this is your thing and this is your problem, then you must be a label. You must be an alcoholic. There must be something really wrong. But I love how you already opened up and said, wait a minute, you notice some behaviors and things that just didn't line up with who you are. And that's going to be a key point of our conversation too, is really defining what are our values and who are we, and how to notice that it doesn't line up that way, so that you could step back. And for me, even just now getting to know you, there was already, you were leaning into growth and leaning into self-awareness to where you knew how to check yourself. So a lot of this is going to be where the woman is and where her struggle is. So my story is born and raised in the South, had a great family growing up. I do remember times where I just, like most teenagers, try things. And I do remember early on noticing how it, when I drank, it just helps you loosen up and you're out of your head, and it helps with the insecurities and things like that. And so a lot of it is starts early and just even sprinkled in into our lives of like, oh, that actually worked because I was nervous or stressed. And then later in life, it became more of this cool experience of wine clubs and book clubs and, pairing wine with foods, and where that in itself is not a problem. And I have plenty of friends who will go and attend these events and then they don't drink again for months. For me, I found myself continuing to drink, or when, the tasting was over, looking for more bottles and with some other friends. There was just a few of us. And I, in that moment, I didn't really recognize it, but it was the looking back of going, oh, wow, yeah, it was always all or nothing. We got to finish this. So,
Keep
and
that party
then,
going.
yeah, I got to keep it going. Why are we stopping, right? And so really it has been sprinkled throughout. However, I got married and I wanted children, and it was not a part of my life. I, had my children. It wasn't until after my second child that I allowed it to creep back in, because it was cookouts, weekends. And so for me, it went from Friday night, Saturday night, one day during the week, 2 days during the week. And it truly is a slow fade. And for the women that I serve, and most women, that's more than likely inside of this conversation, it just becomes to where you open your eyes, you're like, wow, I'm drinking a lot. Is this normal? Surely this isn't normal. And it works. I'm overstressed, I'm overworked, I'm trying to achieve, but I don't have any other tools because I haven't learned or created them. And then it continues in a loop. And it can continue for years. For me, I knew, and we can talk a little more, once we get going about where I'm at now. But for me, I knew for a while, a year to 2 years, that my relationship with alcohol was not healthy. However, I didn't really know a way out, or I had just enough of this. Well, I work out and I go to work and I take care of my kids. It's not that bad. So I continued.
Yeah. I think that's the difficult part is like that what's normal spot. But if you are starting to question it or have even that thought, it's kind of a red flag to start to think to yourself, well, why is this question coming up? And is it, how can I use it for my benefit versus like shaming ourselves into like, because I know I've had in situations, you know, overdrank or it to, a, and then had to, you know, check myself of saying like same thing of like, this isn't really where I want to go down. And I, you know, I had the thoughts of like, especially around COVID of like, well, shall I give it up? Like, you know, my husband doesn't drink. It would align in our family. You know, is that a better scenario for me? And then having the thoughts of, you know, I'm a health coach. So even I'm like, there's wine in blue zones and there's wine in the Bible. Like, where is this really an end all be all bad thing? And is it a, you know, like, so it, you know, I love to overthink and go through all those questions of like, I see it here. I also see it and you'll be like, well, this person looks like they're functioning. And I think it is a trap to start to look at what other people's relationships with alcohol is, because it can start to like, you don't know what's going behind how they're really feeling internally. Are they struggling, but putting on a good face? And I've had a lot of friends that have, jumped off, you know, the regular drinking or altogether, but have gone into other areas like adaptogens or mushrooms or, you know, other now legal substances to kind of like offset. I kind of want to talk to you about that too, of like, I feel like it's just trading one for the other, maybe what's more comfortable for you. You know, my sister stopped drinking. She just found herself again, you know, not in a space of it was like a problem, but she just felt so much better. She got to a point of like, why am I drinking if I don't feel good the next day? And just decided it's done and hasn't drank for like 3 years. You know what I mean? So I feel like wasn't a huge issue. And yet it was so much better for her to remove it anyway, you know, like that type of scenario. So how does someone know there's a red flag? Like, what is, how do you know when you're getting to those over drinking, this is not good for me? That how do they know to cut back? How do they know to stop? Do you guys, do you have lines for that?
Sure. And a lot of it is, once again, just recognizing it's such a spectrum. Like your sister, that's awesome. I have had women who have messaged me and said, hey, just from listening to your podcast and really learning some of your tools and your awareness, I haven't drank in 30 days, 60 days. Awesome. And there are others that are a little more locked in. And like I would say I was, where it was just such a, it's just a neural pathway. We talk about this a lot, how this, there's just this rhythm. And so really simply, if you question your relationship with alcohol, then it's probably time for you to give it a break. Because those that don't have a unhealthy relationship, in whatever level we want to look at it, they don't think about it. They don't ask the questions. They just have a drink with dinner or have a drink at weddings or celebrations. And it's just not that big of a deal. So if you're going, huh, wow, I feel like crap today. And I did this last night too. And I really am just not liking how I'm feeling. And it's, you're noticing, that's really the beginning of the awareness. And it sometimes takes women a while to get to the place where they're honest. And that's a huge part of my, and I'm sure you probably do that in your process too. Until we're truly honest with ourselves and can look ourselves in the mirror and go, listen, this is not what we want. This is not what I want in my life. And this is to ourselves first. We don't ever have to tell anybody else, you know, especially if, as a believer, it's a relationship I have with the Lord too. And there are women, and why I do what I do and you do what you do, that they got to raise their hand and say, hey, I need some guidance and help here.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the relationship with food, it kind of, it's like a parallel in this subject. I can see it come up like, cause you do, you know, you use food to cope, you use food to feel better, and alcohol can be that same coping mechanism. And if you take it away, then what do you do next? And a lot of times women don't have any tools, they don't have any skill sets, guidance, mentoring to kind of fill in that hole. So then you just go back into your loop because it's really difficult. There's a lot of disruption that happens when you start to make changes in any kind of area in your life, especially when it is towards a healthy habit. I would think alcohol could be an issue, of removing it being quite disruptive if you're in a relationship that is built around alcohol or family dynamics that you've seen that cycle. Does that come into the neurodynamic, like, or the patterning of women keeping in on that cycle?
Absolutely. Especially if you're in your most intimate relationship, whether it's a spouse or a boyfriend or something like that, it's because a lot of women are now reflecting, going, oh crap, this, we've just done this together for so long. How else will we connect? We go to vineyards and we go to these places. And that's a whole nother section or deep dive into knowing yourself and knowing that, you know, codependency behaviors like that, and recognizing that you can make changes. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. But just learning how to communicate and have conversations. And my view with, if you're in a healthy partnership, if you're truly vulnerable, which most women that are over drinking are not, we hide our emotions and we stuff them down. And most of the time we avoid, or we people please, so that we do not have to face our own feelings. And that's part of the learning and the healing. And if you are in a safe relationship and you are loved and you love your partner, really, I can't imagine if you're saying, hey, I really don't like how I'm feeling, I want to take a break. You don't have to. However, will you support me in this process? And then if there's some conflict there, then we have a whole nother area of growth to take place, because that's not a true, healthy, loving relationship.
Yeah, it can be a little bit of a ripple effect. You think you're giving up alcohol and you're stepping into a whole new lifestyle, a whole new life for yourself. Do you think there is a place for alcohol for some people, or do you think it is more like, sometimes I see there is a firm line of it's a toxin, which it is. I mean, there isn't a place for it for people. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it's very, very personal. I think one of the questions you had asked me was, what does a healthy relationship look like when it comes to alcohol? And I was like, huh. And so I love to define words, you know, when we're talking about language, what do we actually mean? Because as humans, we're going to say things that it may mean something different. So I looked it up and it said the relationship is the way two or more people are connected, or the way they behave towards each other. So I thought that was very interesting, because if we looked at alcohol and us, when we look at the relationship, how does alcohol serve you? How is that helping you in a relationship? Now, there again, I am not a anti-alcohol person at all, because there is this part of celebrations and champagne. I personally don't care. I can celebrate and feel joy and have a blast with any other thing in my drink. And some people want it different. So it really just depends on if you're choosing alcohol, just know that what it is. Be open. Like, this is a chemical and it will affect me. And am I willing to just be okay with that? Because same thing as sugar, right? It's okay if we go to a birthday party and I'm going to eat a piece of cake. That cake is not serving me. It is not in a healthy relationship with me, but I'm going to enjoy it. But I'm not going to go home and eat cake when I get home in my privacy of my home or the rest of the week. So it's just how we see it and what the relationship looks like.
Like the attachment factor, and then seeing what the results are after the fact of how you feel. Cause it does chemically affect your body and your hormones. And like, I feel like I used to be able to drink a lot more. I always considered myself more of a heavier drinker than probably most. I think I ran in a friend group that we were all drinkers, same thing. So like your environment does influence what you think is appropriate or what you think is helpful. I grew up in a family that we celebrated with drinks. I always naturally just knew to make sure I felt good with drinking. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't reach to drink to feel better. Like I would actually make sure I felt better before I drank because I didn't want to associate like feeling bad and drinking. Same thing with like I did, on my when I was sick or didn't, you know what I mean? Like when you felt low, not to drink because I don't instinctively I felt like that was something that I didn't want to correlate. And then during COVID, I noticed those things starting to come up. Like I noticed feeling a little more like sad versus this is a fun enjoyable experience that changed. So I think relationships change and they can be altered. So just because you drank always doesn't mean you always have to drink. How can someone like if this is a roadblock for someone, or someone is starting to say, like, this is if you're listening, you're like, I've been thinking about alcohol more often. Just as you said, normal people don't think about it day to day. I'm like thinking about it. Can't wait to drink it when I get home. Can't wait to the weekend. And if it's throwing off your, I never tell anybody what to do. I have a little alcohol segment in my program. But it can change your decision making when you're drinking of what you're eating and, are you going to get up to move after you told yourself you were going to, and then you don't because you overindulge. So if you're in that spot and you're like, but I just seem to be doing the same thing over and over again, what can these women do? Like, what's something that can be helpful?
Oh, this is so big because you're right. Anytime alcohol enters the brain, it really does begin to block the frontal lobe, which is our decision-making spot. And so that's typically when we do overeat, continue to overdrink, overshop, over Netflix. And I think that's this conversation that I like to have with women is anytime we're overing, we're coping and we're buffering these feelings that we're having versus getting more curious and understanding the feelings. So, there may be women here that are just like you, where you could go, wait a minute, I only want to go and have a glass if I'm celebrating something. I don't want to be doing it from a lower place or a stress place. And then there's a lot of women like myself who that was the answer, that was the tool. And nothing else. And so, based on your, I'd say, deeper path and your habit loop in that relationship is going to look different for all of us. Because some women may say, like your sister or others that you've met in your program, oh, okay, cool. I recognize it. I have the awareness and I'm acknowledging. So now what am I going to put in its place? Because a lot of times that's what we'll do in the beginning. What kind of new routines or new things can I put in its place? Which always are helpful, I believe. That's the foundation. Put something else in the glass, or when you're feeling the urge, do something physical with your body. And a lot of it too is really committing and being willing to navigate how you're feeling without judgment. Because so many times our biggest challenge with ourselves are just self-criticism and judgment. What's wrong with me? Why am I this way? Why can't I stop? What if somebody finds out? And it's a lot of fear. And really, it's getting to the place where you recognize that this is something you want to work on, you want to remove, and being willing to really surrender. And being willing to try something new and then allow yourself to mess up. Because I believe with anything, I'm sure you say the same thing, we're not designed to be perfect. It is not possible. So if you go into your week and you've created these small goals and this, if you slip up, okay, let's look at it. Let's learn from it. What did you learn? What was going on before you chose to drink? What happened the night before? Was there a feeling that you weren't willing to feel? It's the getting curious and learning from it. And then you'll build and you'll get to where I am now over 5 years alcohol free. So it is that it's very, very scary in the beginning, but it's buying into the belief of the others that you see that have gone before you that helps too.
Now, did you have to lean into a program like an AA or like a Where did you find your transition and your replacement? What was your replacement?
So for me, I replaced it with hot teas as far as drinks and things like that. I love kombucha. It's great. Now apparently they make it with alcohol, which is crazy. I saw some recently at the like a Whole Foods store that had, and over 21. I was like, oh my gosh, they're adding alcohol into kombucha, which is already really fermented, but it's so good for your gut. And I'm thinking, why? Because you can't drink a lot of that. What is the point of even adding that in there? That's a sipping thing. So, total side note, I thought that's crazy. And that's a lot of what we're dealing with in this world anyway, is the conditioning of advertising. If we would just stop for a minute and just look at the shift that's happened, even since COVID, I mean, the numbers were insane, the alcohol sales and all that in COVID, but it's so targeted to women. Everything's pretty and colorful and seltzers, all these companies have this stuff. And so a lot of it is facing this going against the norm. So for me, I tried a lot of stuff, and that's why I love what I do now, is because it was a lot, but I was willing to try AA and go to Celebrate Recovery. And I was doing books, podcasts. And it really wasn't until because none of that really worked. And the whole I'm an alcoholic, raise your hand thing is not for me, because I did not identify with that.
It
And
can induce a feeling of like shame too. Like I literally
absolutely.
like or feel like if you're not, because there's a lot of functioning. If you're in a space where like life is still happening, it's all good. It's just not as
Yeah.
aligned as you want it to be, or you know you're going down a path. But I don't know. And I do have the background of being in close proximity of someone in that space. So I feel like there is an area that's being missed for people. Like
Oh, yeah.
it doesn't have to be that hard cut. I'm an alcoholic versus I just choose not to drink, or you know what I mean? There's nothing
Right.
actually, there's like space to be talked about, which is why I was so grateful that you
Yeah.
came here today.
And that's the beauty of it, is that's because of what I went through and my willingness to get uncomfortable and try all this stuff. I was like, there's got to be a better way. And it was just through my growth. And then me hiring my own personal life coach was a game changer, because I was able to sit inside of so many pieces about the relationship. Because really, at the end of the day, alcohol is just what's on top. We're really needing to get down to the root, and that's what the deeper coaching is. But that's why I created what I created for my women, because they don't have time to go places. They don't want to go. They're not alcoholics. I don't work with anyone who would be in danger to remove alcohol that might need rehab. I've had women that I've said, based on our conversation, hey, I think you need something more. You need a physician support. That's not who I help. I help women who are just like me, that you remove it and you're stressed out, you're edgy, and you have some headaches and maybe don't sleep great for a couple of weeks, but otherwise there's no physical issues. It's just a matter of healing that internal part of us emotionally and spiritually, really.
I liked the words that you use of overing and buffering. I
Yep.
think that they're relatable of like, and you can actually check up, like they're tangible to see yourself doing it. Like, are you overing here? And it's not that there's anything wrong with you. You don't even need like, it's not like a, it's an indicator of there's something more that you're kind of avoiding or overshadowing or, you know, not wanting. I know as emotional eaters, most of us don't want to feel. We want to tap out about it. Same thing. My overthinking is because I don't want to feel that in my body. So it's like a constant turning towards feeling the feeling and knowing it's not going to last forever. And alcohol can take that, you know, it makes you feel better. So what are your thoughts on the other feel good substance? Is do you think that's just another form of overing, or there's a place or same kind of thing? It's based on the relationship. Some people I feel like they say they don't find the anxiety. I'm a person, I don't you know, the pens, the weed, the I just don't have any. I've never liked it, so I just don't. It's not something I would be drawn towards, so I don't dabble anywhere there, but I know people that is an avenue where they find that they come away from alcohol or move away from it. Do you have any experience with that with clients, or is that something that you just don't promote?
I definitely don't promote it because I promote full healing, and that will not do it because you're still going outside of yourself to find something to feel good, feel better, be less stressed, numb. I mean, really, that's what we're talking about here is we have a this language and that wine or alcohol makes us feel better when really it just completely numbs us to where we are not associated to the emotions and the thoughts anymore. Excuse me. So no, I do not agree. And there's all kinds of natural supplements that I'm totally open to, even with help with sleep. You know, there's a lot of really clean CBD products that don't actually make you feel anything different, or melatonin. I'm a big magnesium person. Magnesium at night is fantastic. And then, yes, looking at, especially with in the health journey, is really looking at we're missing all the gaps in our foods already. So my body needs to be nourished. Protein is a huge one that I had to tell my people with cravings. Usually it's a blood sugar issue. And with removing alcohol, the blood sugar is going cuckoo crazy. So whatever you can do, always try to find some protein first and then just check back in and see how you feel.
I love that you added that in, because I don't think that a lot of us correlate those nutritional gaps to how we feel, because they do affect our hormones. That dopamine hit, like that you're looking for, you can actually, like the way that you eat will chill that out. And then it just helps with your cravings. So you're not actually craving something to, you know, fill that need. So I think hitting it from that emotional perspective and then the food perspective is a great eye-opening for people, making sure you're getting your body's fueling it from inside and out, all the different ways. Have you ever had hop water?
No, I haven't.
It's like a seltzer version, but it just has like ashwagandha or some like L-glutamine, like chill out herbs mm-hmm. and things like that, but there's no altering effects, but it's just like a nice mellow thing. We get that often. Is there any other, are you like a mocktail person where you like to show women how to make different mocktails, that type of thing? Or you feel like that it just adds to the want of alcohol?
You know, that's a really good, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm 50-50 there, because for me, that was not something that I wanted to try, non-alcohol wine. I was a wine drinker. So, you know, talking room temperature, it's a little different when somebody's been drinking maybe vodka and cold drinks, because mocktails are a lot easier to crisscross. So for me, but I've had some clients that have said, yeah, you know, the fact that they make so many non-alcohol mixers and wines now, that's actually helped them. So there again, this is a journey of exploring and getting curious with ourselves and being willing to try things and then keep what works and toss the rest. And that's really the beauty of life anyway. And so, yeah, I'm open to whatever might work for someone.
Making it personal to you. Yeah, I can see it, like, because it can bring, like, especially like if your maybe work events take you to bars often, like mm-hmm. being able to order a non-alcoholic beer and you fit into the scene versus then feeling like you have to answer questions of like, why aren't you ordering something? Or, you know what I mean? Do you create game plans prior to events like that? If someone's like, you know, I have a culture at work where I'm always at happy hour, or, you know, I even maybe I promote things, so it's part of my life, you know, in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, is there's a lot of the social scene. And so that is the beauty, is they do have non-alcohol beers now. And what I always say is, if possible, get there a little early, go ahead and order, tell the bartender, hey, well, you know, what you got this non-alcohol that looks fancy and cute. And because there's so many options now, even when I go out on occasionally, I'll find something that just looks good on the menu. And I'll say, ooh, just give me that without the alcohol. You know, if it's a mojito or something like that, if I'm somewhere a little nicer. And it is really so easy to mix like sparkling water and cranberry with a lime, which is so refreshing, and no one knows. And honestly, I want to But I want to say this loud and clear. One of the fears with the women are exactly what you said. What if they ask me, or what if they think that something's wrong, and what do I say? And 95% of the people I've worked with have had events and nobody cares. Nobody cares. And if they do, just say, they say, no, thank you. Hey, you want me to grab you a drink? No, thank you. I'm having blank, or simply no, thank you. And if you really have someone that's closer in your life, I have had this where I have a lady, she goes on bridge tournaments and, you know, they're in a hotel for a couple of days and she has a friend that's an over drinker. She has just said, you know what? I'm just going to tell her I'm on a new prescription and I can't drink. And I was like, perfect.
Oh, yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay, because you're creating a boundary to protect the need that you have, and it's really none of her business. And if that's the thing you know that will, you know, shut her up, basically, because we're not going to have many people like that in our life, but the people listening might. Mm-hmm. They might be thinking right now that friend that's going to be pressure, and there's ways around that for sure.
Yeah, and I think too, because then you look at it like, am I going to lose that person in my life? Which is a hard thing to look at. So then you don't want to lose a friend. So you keep the peace and, you know, continue to drink, whether you like, you know, you're not really feeling like you want to, and then later feel bad about that. So it is like unpuzzling and really working through what's going on for you. And I like that you take everybody individually of what makes sense for them and their environment and what their lives look like. And I think that's really important. Because we are in January, I don't know when this is going to air or when you're listening to this, guys, but so I'm doing dry January. I did it last year on like by accident, not by accident, but it was also same thing. I was like, holidays had just passed. I was feeling just a little bit heavy, and like, I didn't even start it January 1st because I didn't intend to do it. And like a couple days in, I was like, I need a break. So I stopped and then just ended up doing it for the month, went a little longer. So it was the 30 days. I don't know if that's like an important time frame. That's the question I want to ask you, is time frame. Mm. But didn't really, it wasn't like I was like, didn't say anything to anybody. And I didn't even know if I was going to do it for the 30 days, just because I am a regular drinker. So, but it was good. I feel like the break was really nice. And so this year I was like, I'll do it again. So we're almost at the end of January, but is it helpful to take those 30 days, or do you recommend like 90 days or 6 months, or is it really just like, it's irrelevant? It's like, let's get into the, is it helpful to you? Like, mm-hmm. How do you feel about dry January? Let's sum up
that. Easier. Well, it's yes. And, because I fell into that trap of 30-day detoxes or join dry January, dry July. And it was a sort of a pressure, and with nothing more than to abstain. So for me, and for a lot of women, when we screw up and we feel like we didn't make it, then the heavier shame and judgment comes. If there's this, oh, I have to do this. And it's that whole white knuckling willpower that's just a bunch of crap that really doesn't exist. So for me, it's if that works for you, absolutely go for it. That is a great diving board into, now let's talk about what February is going to look like. And even in my program that I have, it is never pressured to stop completely. However, I really believe a good sweet spot is 6 weeks. When you can say, listen, for 6 weeks, but inside of that, we go way deeper into, what is alcohol costing me? How is this affecting my life? You know, is this aligning with my goals? We write a breakup letter to the alcohol because it is a relationship.
I do that with my client.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. It's a relationship. It is like your person that you have relied on for a very long time. So it's, yeah, very, there's a lot of parallels here.
Absolutely. And so then that gives you at least more of that leverage and the accountability. And just for me too, that place of surrender, of understanding this is going to be hard and I'm not going to be able to do this completely alone. So I'm going to use my relationship with the Lord. I'm going to use the student community. I'm going to tell my partner if it feels safe to tell your partner. And there's layers to it versus the celebration and the hype of a 30-day challenge.
You look at it on a much deeper level.
Yeah.
more intimate level, just that
Sure.
thing. Yeah. I can see how it could create some issues, especially if you have binge cycles in your life, which I am that person, or have been that person, the binger. So sometimes you get geared up when you remove, you beforehand end up drinking more, and then on the back end you end up drinking more or eating more, eating less. You know what I mean? So those type of things can come into play. So I guess really looking into all of those aspects.
Yep.
But it's been great. So if someone wants to answer those questions that you just went through for themselves and have some accountability and have support, how can they find more of you or, more of your circle and what you do?
Yeah, thank you for asking. The best place to go is the Set Free Sisterhood podcast, because that's where you're going to get already some tools and support in there. And then honestly, I just ask people to shoot me an email, michelle@setfreesisterhood.com, and say, hey, I heard your message and I'm curious about, maybe my relationship with alcohol, and let's set up a chat and just have a call and see if that's something that you want support with.
Awesome. I'll put all of those in the show notes as well, so you guys can go after listening and go click there and get more information. But I appreciate you being here and sharing with us. And I think it's a good, like, I just think bringing it from a place that feels very, there's a lot of like acceptance and conversation and is great. Like, I feel like that's a great, so someone can find it what they need to move forward with this space in their life. So thank you
Yeah.
again. Is there anything you want to leave us with? Any last nugget?
I think it's just more of don't allow this message just to be like, oh, okay, cool. That was some good information. If this is you, be willing to just sit with it for today and just ask yourself if you're struggling as a listener, just like, okay, so what does my relationship with alcohol look like? And what is it costing me right now? And that could be, is it costing me intimacy and connection with my partner? Is it costing me playing with my kids? Maybe just overall not feeling well in my body and sleep. Has it affected my family, my work? And it helps us to finally look at it and see so that we can then make a choice. Because at the end of the day, we're all in choice. We're the ones that have to take action and move through our lives, which is great. I don't want anybody pushing me or pressuring me. I want to be the one in the driver's seat. So that's just what I want to encourage the women listening today.
I agree with that. I feel like when you do it from someone telling you what to do, I think, well, in regards to, again, some of what my community of the emotional eater, the chronic dieter, it's like a rebellious that comes like, I'm gonna do what I want. You know what I mean? Like, or continuing to create these patterns of distrust, mistrust, distrust, and having no belief that you have the ability to do it yourself. And that's another thing. If you're in that space, it's not so much that you can't do it, you just might need more perspective and more help and some more expanding what it is that you see so that you can open into more. So you can totally do this. It's just a matter of figuring out the right way for you.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love that you're here. Thank you so much. Thanks again. Bye, guys. I will see you next week.
Hey friend, before you go, I want to make sure that you know about the free masterclass that is available for you. It's the 5 steps to help you stop overdrinking without stress and overwhelm. Download it for free today at setfreesisterhood.com/masterclass. I would love for you to come join the Facebook community too. I will put the link in the show notes. And if you're ready to see what support would look like so that you could start walking out your future of being alcohol-free and stepping into the woman who God is calling you to be, email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com. Until next time, stay blessed.